Welcome back. We are just about 26 minutes on the upswing to the hour of 4 o'clock. Don't forget, coming up at the top, we have your newscast coming up. And it's time for us to introduce a wonderful lady that has journeyed all the way from Uncle Sam's land. And she is now here in Trinidad and Tobago. She was now giving me a little schooling in voting. But clearly she didn't meet me before. So, we're not here to talk about that, but she tried to tell me that I should vote. I mean, people died for that civic right, and they would have fought for it tooth and nail. I am not disagreeing, you know, but again, it's my civic duty. That's all it is. It's not a lawful one. It's just a civic duty. It's my responsibility whether I do it or not. When it becomes law, talk to me. But when we find that political party that I can see, well, there, boy, then we'll talk. You see, I honestly believe that when Dr. Rowley got into power about 9 years ago and he brought in people like Shamfa Kojo and others who I've never heard from before, I thought that these ministers were vibrant. They were coming with new ideas. It was new people on the political landscape. But they met up old stalwarts such as Colm Imber and others. So even though they're willing to do something good, or they want to spend money, more money into the economy to do this, Hey, take your time. You're not rich. Learn how things just work here. Pat yourself down. And they do what? They toe the line, because they don't want to lose their job. And if it's one thing Patrick Manning taught us, is that when you follow a political leader and you enter politics and you get into government, there is no guarantee of a 5 years. So it's a eat our food, benefit you, and hold on for dear life. Because he swing the table in mid-sentence and changed the whole landscape. So when his political ministers, appointed ministers, was expecting a five-year term, so they take out mortgage, this, that, whatever they do, in 2 years and 6 months, it was a wrap. I know some ministers ain't catch themselves yet. I ain't calling name. One had was to sell his vehicle and go back to his law practice because he couldn't afford the payments anymore. He was no longer on that political salary, so to speak. So if there's anything I learn, is that Patrick Manning teach us or taught us in this country, when we get into office, every man for himself. Oh yeah, we go help all because, and I will tell you this, we don't see the walkabouts. When last will they get a PNM jersey to wear? Or a UNC jersey or a flag to wave? When last? We don't see those things. It's going to come. It's going to come. Just now is elections in this country coming. You know what I mean? And guess what? They're going to mama guy again. You know, like, you can't go by the D2 and buy a jersey. You have to wait for them to give you one. I just saying, ma'am, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We can't have these kind of topics. You know, fix your mic.
You're not going to catch me. Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago.
Trinidad, if you see how nice this lady is, a real nice, pleasant lady. You know, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Let's first introduce your name. Your name is the thing that catching me, boy. Only listen to this lady's name, huh? Go ahead.
My name is Adepeju Oyesanya Ryan, and I am a certified lactation specialist here in Trinidad and Tobago.
I want to say good afternoon to Mr. Ryan, wherever you are. You know, I don't know. I wonder what is your pet name? Because to remember all that name, Ryan, it's not going to be easy, Mr. Ryan. But, good afternoon to you, wherever you are. For the benefit of those listening, what is a lactation specialist? What is that person? What is that profession?
Our profession, our goal is to support families. Mm-hmm. We look at assisting prenatally, which means before baby arrives during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. We support postnatally once baby has arrived, returning back to work at any stage that a mother, father, baby have challenges and or just questions. We're here to support.
I hear what you say, mm-hmm. but I still lost.
Okay.
So you're here to support what? What exactly? What problem could I have that you're going to support us with?
Breastfeeding is a learned art. We use the word lactation because that encompasses more than a baby nursing at the breast. That could also include pumping. That could also include aids that may be needed. So lactation is a more holistic word to look at breastfeeding, whether nursing and or pumping and weaning and dealing with the loss of a child. If a mother loses a child, we also assist with that, assisting her with decreasing her milk production as she as her body adjusts to the loss and death of the child. So that's what I'm saying. It's through the pregnancy and postpartum period up to really the first 1,000 days, which is 24 months.
So that's like about 2 years.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, I can almost answer this question myself, but as you are the professional, I would ask you, why is breastfeeding so important, and as how soon should they start?
Breastfeeding is very important for several reasons. Let's talk about, first of all, kind of like what you were speaking about, our country.
Mm-hmm.
People don't relate lactation to the well-being of a nation. Bonding, which is psychosocial issues, mm-hmm. are relieved with lactation. Mothers tend to have a lower rate of depression and postpartum depression if they lactate. In addition, family bonds are made. And I would like to make a plug in for fathers. Fathers,
hold on.
You just stopped me? Sorry.
I don't mean to cut you.
Yes.
Back it up a bit.
Yes, sir.
Lactation, repeat that statement you made.
What did I just say?
You said something about postpartum depression.
Yes, postpartum depression.
So, uh-huh.
Lactation decreases postpartum depression.
So lactation is what?
Breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding.
But I like to be inclusive. The reason why I keep emphasizing is lactation is I want mothers who also pump and provide human milk to feel included in the conversation.
Okay.
When we hear the word breastfeeding, traditionally we just look at nursing at the breast. So I would have to keep saying nursing at the breast and pumping. Nursing at the breast and pumping.
Okay, so lactation.
Lactation.
So for the benefit of those listening in the taxis right now, and you know, lactation has to, it deals with both, all
yes.
right? So once you are providing human milk, you are lactating?
Yes, that is
true. Is that
true.
The word? Okay.
Yes. Once you're providing human milk, you are lactating. And our goal is to help you along your journey. Why we talk about depression is a lot of people will say, the stress of breastfeeding, the stress of pumping, all this is very stressful. What people don't realize is pretty much after you get the first 2 weeks down or so, it actually helps to reduce your psychosis or issues with mental health. And we don't talk about mental health holistically in our nation,
mm-hmm.
that if you've had an incident of depression any time prior to pregnancy, you are 50% more likely to face a depressive episode. So we need to monitor you and watch you. Because people may be hesitant or fearful of that conversation with their medical practitioners, they tend not to reveal that. So going into baby blues, depression, psychosis are things that would be beneficial if we had open conversations about our mental health in the country.
And, you know, as we talk about postpartum depression, you know, you say that the lactation helps with it.
Yes.
So whether by pumping or naturally,
They're both natural. We'll say whether by nursing and or pumping, but we know the research more is related to nursing at the breast. Pumping is quite a new revelation, if I want to say it that mm-hmm. way. And the reason why I have to say that is nursing has existed since we have existed as humans. But the science of it is still relatively new and it's unfolding and we're learning. And what we know is that oxytocin, which is the love hormone, which is released through sexual intercourse, also is released when we're breastfeeding. That helps with the bonding. So if it is that a mother feels bonded with her child, that will decrease chances of abuse, that decreases chances of abandonment. Those issues are important. Sitting here, we were talking about crime. Crime doesn't happen outside, meaning that a criminal isn't just born. A criminal is raised. You have to look at the home environment. It is the responsibility of our nation, the citizens, the workplace, to really consider how we treat with expectant individuals in the country, meaning how we provide care when we hear that they're pregnant all the way through the first 24 months. Lactation, when it's supported, which is the theme for World Breastfeeding Week, is support. You would say, why do you need to be supported? It's natural. You should know how to do this. Again, breastfeeding is really a learned art, and it's important to give women, whether they are nursing and or pumping, the support that they need to ensure they're able to do it successfully. A lot of people say, just feed the baby anything. The baby's going to be okay. Look at me. Look how I turned out. Look at you. Look how you turned out. you may have underlying health issues. Trinidad and Tobago, and actually the world globally, the number one killer for women is heart disease. Second is cancer. Dave, you didn't know that.
Well, I always thought cancer would have been number one.
Number one is heart disease. I will always say cancer has done a good job in marketing itself, but actually a woman is more likely to die of heart disease than cancer. How do we prevent cancer? What is a cost-effective way? We hear about our budget. We hear about the concerns about how the country is spending money. Well, a cost-effective way is to ensure that women have support. How do you ensure that support for a young mother? And I want to say, when I use the word mother, for me personally in our practice at Omo and Best Start, we say parenting begins now, and the word is we. Mm-hmm. I believe that fathers and mothers are part of a system that needs support in raising their child, kind of like the village approach to raising children that we've kind of lost in our society. If you can give young fathers and mothers the ability to understand the importance of lactation, the importance of giving their child optimal nutrition in brain development, in cognitive development, in bonding, in psychosocial issues, being more economically prudent. There's no need for foreign currency, right? And I will always say there's a cost to breastfeeding. There's a woman's time. You may need additional services. You may need a pump. So there is a cost. It's not free, but it's definitely more cost effective than formula feeding. And I want to say, as a lactation practitioner, we are not opposed to formula feeding. What we are opposed to, though, is the heavy marketing of formula as being superior to breast milk. Their research has proven there's no additive that you can add to formula that will ever make it comparable to breast milk in any form. Reason why, Davey, every time a woman produces breast milk, whether nursing out or pumping, that milk recalibrates itself. And what I mean by recalibration is this. If I'm sick, I'm nursing my baby and or I'm pumping breast milk, my milk composition will change and the antibodies will change because it knows that I am sick. When you make that formula at 6 a.m. or you make that formula at 6 p.m., that formula has not changed. But my body recalibrates itself to understand that, hey, I think she's about to find a cold. Let me make sure I give more antibodies to that baby. Hey, the baby's a little bit older now, so they need a little more nutrients here and there. And it's always moving and shaking. So breast milk is nutrition that is fresh for every feed. And not only is it fresh for every feed, what I think we need to also understand in terms of being cost effective is that, listen, healthcare costs of dealing with diabetes, heart disease, cancer is killing our nation's country. We would benefit if we could find cost-effective ways to reduce our health care in this country. Breast milk does that. It does that in not only a medical way, but it also does in the social economic issues, which leads us back to your initial conversation when we talked about crime. Mm-hmm. Listen, our homes are the first defense against crime. I will say it, I don't care. If you have your home set, then it's less likely, I can't say the word impossible, right? But less likely that your child would become a victim of becoming involved in criminal activity. Mm-hmm. And also, listen to me, if we do not change our policies to include paternity care in this country, we lose the involvement of fathers. Fathers add a rich involvement in the lives of children in this country and by extension in the world. Other countries, and let's be honest, our workplace policies in this country, they meet standards, but we could do better. 14 weeks is insufficient for a mother really to have the time needed to adjust to motherhood. And let's not even talk about paternity leave in this country. If you're lucky, most companies will give you 3 days and or...
But that's the guys.
Yes. Yeah. As I said, paternity care.
Yeah. So I got to bring me to the next question, yes, as to why is it important for spouses to understand men expect especially about breastfeeding or lactation, as it were.
Yeah, and it's not just men. People make this assumption that men need to understand it. Women need to understand it, too.
No,
I'm saying both.
No, but just before you go forward, you know, I agree with you because when I have two sons.
Okay.
And the first one, there was a problem with attaching.
Okay.
The attaching, you know, for the baby to get, for my big son to actually get on there. So the milk wasn't producing. And then I looked on the walls in the room and there was posters teaching moms the right way to breastfeed. So it's not natural. It's not an instinct that as a woman has a baby, she knows exactly what to do.
Yes.
There's posters and there was nurses or midwives. They came and they had sessions. Even when we were taking baby back to a clinic, so to speak, for examinations, I mean, whether we did it privately, which we did, or public, what I recognize is on all fronts, there was these midwives or these RNs, and they were telling you the proper way to hold baby in order for baby to nurse properly. And it said something to me that you have just reminded me of, and I had my last child about maybe 12 years ago. It's not natural. It's not instinctive where as soon as a mother gets pregnant and the baby born, she automatically knows what to do. Apparently, women don't know this thing or how, especially if it's a first-time mom.
And even a third-time mom, because each pregnancy, each delivery is different. What we need to encourage moms and dads is to take prenatal lactation education, whether it's your first, fourth, or eighth child, because you may come with different challenges. There may be oral issues with the child, which may prevent latching. There may be physical issues. A child may end up in NICU. So each situation, there are solutions. But sometimes when we don't have the proper education or information, it becomes difficult to overcome challenges that may occur.
I don't know how much time you have with Mia, but I'm hoping I can grab you after the 4 o'clock news to continue this conversation. Now, just backing up a little bit with, as you mentioned, NICU. Now, you did say something that breast milk, there is no substitute. And there is a particular brand on the market. I became aware of it with my first son because, as I said, initially, mom wasn't really bringing it, the milk, as it were. So we was introduced to this. And I see the brand today, and I'm happy that I don't have children that age because it went from one price to another. It's up there. And it's one of the most expensive brands in the market. And they said, this is the pediatrician at the paid facilities and so forth, are saying, this is the closest thing and the best thing in the absence of mom's breast milk. And then I looked at both kids, one that breastfed for a shorter period and one who has breastfed a little longer. And I see a stark difference between both. And I want to have some kind of insight or enlightenment on that. As we're in Breastfeeding Week this week, I think with your permission, we can probably get more of that after the news. But before we talk about that, let's go back a little bit. I'm just looking at my time. I don't want to start a new topic without having enough time to delve into it. Let's go back to the importance of dads understanding this process.
Dads are your biggest ally. When we work with our moms, I always tell them, I will go home. It is your partner, your husband, that will remain here with you. Once he understands his role is to protect and to support. Long time ago, there used to be like what we'd call 40 days when people had children, where the community would come to support the mother and the father so that they could bond and adjust to this new life that they were welcoming. Fathers need that space and that understanding and education that they too have an important role to play in lactation, whether that is supporting the mother's feelings against those who may be opposed, who may say, oh, give the baby a little bit of formula. Oh, the baby looks a little hungry. And the father is able to intervene and say, no, we know that this is the best option for our child, and we are choosing to do this. Now, if there is a medical reason why a mother cannot breastfeed immediately after giving birth, we know actually, well, you said we'll dive in until later, but the second best thing to a mother's breast milk is donor milk.
Donor?
Yes. So NICUs in the United States will purchase breast milk that has been pasteurized in donor facilities to ensure, because children who receive breast milk.
Did you just hear me?
There are women who lactate who may have extra milk. There's some who lactate and they actually are overproducers.
Okay. So they give.
Mm-hmm. There's some who just do it because they've had a NICU situation themselves. They understand, so they give. Then those places process this milk. They pasteurize it so that it can be given. So then hospitals purchase it. Right. So instead of like any other thing, because formula must be purchased. So the same way you purchase formula, you purchase donor milk and it's given to NICU children. Now, those arrangements can also be made privately, but take into consideration that you need to ensure that person's HIV status. Yes. Right. Because that's important. And that's another topic. You can breastfeed if you're HIV positive, you're on your antiretroviral drugs, your load is monitored, the baby's monitored. So there's a lot of situations that vary. And like a lot of other fields, lactation is evolving and growing. And we're using the science to back up what we understand about lactation today more than we did maybe 20 or 30 years ago.
You know, I can totally appreciate this conversation this afternoon, because while it may seem second nature, we are recognizing that it's a learned behavior. It's something that must be taught, and the importance of breastfeeding. Now, health-wise, for kids, how beneficial is it?
Extremely beneficial. So remember when I said earlier, as a lactation consultant, my job is to work with you from pregnancy to the first 1,000 days. And that 1,000 days does not begin at delivery. The 1,000 days begins at conception to the 24 months. Yeah,
really?
that's what the 1,000 days is, right?
So
people think that the 1,000 days of development is when a child is delivered. No, preconceptual health, which actually is what a lot of people don't engage in. Preconceptual health, even before you get pregnant, you should be healthy, which means you're taking your folic acid, you're doing your 30 minutes of exercise. If you have psychological or other issues that you need to resolve, you resolve it. Then you become pregnant with you and your partner agreeing on that. And then you guys go through that pregnancy together. And then you guys continue to function as a family unit, raising this child and providing the most optimal nutrition possible for that child, which will be first mom's milk. If not, depending upon the situation, then we'll utilize donor milk. And actually, then formula is our third option. It's our least preferred option out of all the other options.
Is formula totally bad?
It is not about formula being totally bad. Right? I like to discuss formula. I'm happy we're going to really talk about formula. It's not about a good or bad. It's about optimal.
All right. So we'll kick the next hour off with chats on that area where that is concerned, because we are understanding the importance of both spouses getting an education on lactation post or pre and post pregnancy. You know, even when it comes to prenatal care. You know, you should take lactation classes.
Yes.
I mean, I see it posted up in the health facilities and the health centers. But to me, it's almost it's almost post. You know, like, it's only, they come in when the mothers already have the babies. I wonder if in Trinidad, if we do these things prenatal rather than postnatal. Because once baby's here, is now we're talking about breastfeeding. We're talking about the importance of it. We are bringing it out there. Is it that with this company that you have, do you all have these conversations beforehand? And how soon, very quickly, how soon should they contact you guys?
We say 37 weeks.
Which is how much?
37 weeks. Well, actually, it's wrong. 37 weeks is full term. So we actually, before anywhere after your 25th week, you can contact us for classes. We do prenatal classes. Now, let us not sting the public health sector. I don't work for the public health sector. I'm in private practice. But there are places and there are hospitals that are moving towards baby friendly, mm-hmm. which is a global initiative. And we know that Mount Hope and Port of Spain General Sandy Grande, mm-hmm. I believe all three have now received formal recognition of being baby friendly in the country.
All right. Well, no problem. To know Trinidad and Tobago, 6 after the hour of 4 o'clock. Welcome back here on Freedom 106.5 FM. We are chatting with Miss Ryan. Yeah, that's a safe bet, right? If I say anything else, yeah, I'll tap myself. People go swear cussing on the radio. So we're chatting, and I'm sure Mr. Ryan is in his glee right now. He's probably laughing wherever he is. You know, he's like, yeah. I didn't hear that name often enough. So we're chatting with Miss Ryan and Mrs. Ryan for the better part of things. Are we dealing with breastfeeding? Because we're talking about the importance of it as we are celebrating Breastfeeding Week here in the world. This is a worldwide thing. Yes. It's not just Trinidad and Tobago or regional, but it's a worldwide thing. As we continue our discussion here, we parted ways briefly dealing with formulas and the importance of formulas or the lack thereof in terms of importance. You know, let's talk a little bit about formulas and, you know, because here the thing. With my son, as the milk wasn't coming, this particular brand was recommended. And they say the pediatricians from the private institution and even more private again because he's, you know, them days, you're having a little dust, so we spend the money, find out, you know. And they said, this brand. And I used it. Because until the milk came and she was taught how to latch on and have this thing going, you know. And it had me thinking, well, I read it up and it looked good. From compared to others, you know, this one looked good. It's still on the market and it's very pricey. I'm glad I don't have nobody to drink that now. Amen, Jesus, for that. And, you know, two sons, everybody's be like, so you're going for a daughter? I said, yes, in-law. Or granddaughter. But nothing else. So, let's talk a little bit about the difference with this purchased product as opposed to the natural one.
Okay. And I'm so happy we're going to talk about formula in the sense that there's a lot of misconceptions about formula. Number one, some people forget that some mothers actually mourn, and I'm going to use the word mourn, the loss of not being able to breastfeed. You never mentioned, and I'm going to use the word mourn and come back to you, mm-hmm. in all the recommendation for this best formula, did mm-hmm. anyone recommend a lactation consultant to you?
No.
Okay.
Matter of fact,
right.
I'll be honest, I didn't know anything about the word lactation hit me when I looked at my schedule and I did some research as to what lactation is. My apologies, Trinidad and Tobago, but we learn.
Learn something every single day.
Every day.
Lactation more stateside than here locally, but we are working on shifting it, and we thank God for the practitioners who understand. It is multi-sectoral, meaning that pediatricians, OBGYNs, need to, when they are consulting with their clients that are having challenges with breastfeeding, mm-hmm. instead of referring to the quote-unquote best formula on the market, mm-hmm. let us first refer to a lactation consultant. Let us first resolve maybe what the issue is. Lactation mm. is a twofold process when we're talking about lactation nursing directly. That is the mother and the baby. Mm-hmm. Either the mother is the source of the issue or the baby is the source of the... You're looking at me. I wish I could see his face. Like, I got him puzzled. Yes. We don't, again, remember I said lactation is a science and we are learning more and more about human feeding. The mother may have issues. Is it that her nipples are inverted? Is it that she has diabetes? Is it that she has polycystic ovaries syndrome? Yes, you're looking at me. Do you know that underlying health issues, such as the ones I mentioned previously, impact lactation? So, for example, polycystic ovaries. That impacts women, right?
But I think you could have children with polycystic ovaries.
Yes, it may actually be more challenging. So you may either need metformin and or treatment, because what it is that you have more testosterone levels, which impacts, you know, getting pregnant. So fertility may be a challenge. Right? And that is what... And before we go back, I'm going to come back. Let me explain something. When you work in the lactation field, it's like a doctor. You have a GP, right? Your GP is not the heart specialist. If something is wrong with your heart, your GP will say, I really think you need to see a heart specialist.
Right.
If you're having neurological issues, your GP will say, you know what? I think you're seeing a neurologist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know when we will get to the point when you're having lactation issues. Instead of saying, here's the best formula, we say, here is a lactation professional. And I want to break up the word lactation professional. Just like there are specialists in lactation as well, there's different tiers of specialists. There are people who teach lactation, which will teach your prenatal class, your postpartum class, and they just teach. And there are other people who take and who provide services. Then you have another tier who are like the doctors of lactation, which are the international board certified lactation consultants.
So they're like coaches?
Not just coaches, there's tiers of it, because the tiers of it depend upon education, experience, and what you see in your practice.
Okay.
Right? So do you understand?
I do.
I want to say that because when I say to you, who helped or who... I didn't even say who helped. You weren't even asked to be given help by a lactation professional, where you could either do mother-to-mother support, where a mother will go into a group, like a Leche League. I initially started off with TIBS, or now the Breastfeeding Association of Trinidad and Tobago. That's where I got my initial training before I went on to get additional training back home in California. Those will give you... support at a certain level. Now, if you need more clinical skilled support, that's when a person like myself will come in. We will look at your wife. And I come to say that now to come back to her. I want to know her medical background. Right? Now, a peer-to-peer mother support is going to ask you those types of questions that I'm going to ask you, because I'm going to take it from a more clinical perspective of why is this lactation case not happening the way we would like it to happen. Now, let's come back and use your wife, right, as an example. I'm going to ask her when she comes in, we do a lactation consult. I want to know your medical history. Are you diabetic? Did you have high blood pressure before or post? Is it that you have polycystic ovaries? Now, for example, let's say your wife, her condition is she has polycystic ovaries. Okay. Three things can happen if you have polycystic ovaries. You can have overproduction. You can have underproduction. Or you can have just, like my baby bear, just right production. Your medical practitioner, I have so many cases in my private practice. When I ask moms, OBGYN knew that you have polycystic ovaries. Yes. Did they tell you about lactation? No one ever discussed it with me. So when they have low milk supply, they blame themselves. They blame a whole bunch of issues. But I'm like saying, you also have an underlying health issue that impacts you. If you're diabetic, my treatment plan for you is different, because your body is fighting for insulin to maintain its insulin level. But insulin is also needed for lactation. So back to what I was saying. So you see the different tiers of lactation practitioners and professionals. We come with different knowledge bases and we treat it differently. So I'm more of a clinical approach to why you have underlying lactation problems.
Right.
That's the mother. Now, let's say it was actually the baby that had the issue.
What issues would a baby have?
Exactly. Thank you for asking. Well, the baby could have suck coordination issues, where the suck swallow, they're not coordinating correctly. Now, there's a big issue in the U.S. right now, and I have to say in the United States, because we take our lead because we don't have the research here. So a lot of our leaning and education, even my training, all comes from the States.
From the U.S.
Right. There's the AP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, put out a statement policy and the practice about tongue tie, lip ties. These are oral restrictions, meaning the ability for the baby to move their tongue and or their lip, which are needed for removal of human milk.
Right, to suck on.
Yes.
Right, to pull.
To pull. The AP says tongue tie restrictions are not impacting lactation. We will say otherwise, depending upon the degree, depending upon that baby. There's so many factors. It's hard to just say, like I said, your wife may have polycystic ovaries. That doesn't mean that she won't be able to produce milk. We won't know, but we're going to monitor her case differently. We're going to treat her differently than a mother who doesn't have polycystic ovaries, who's having different lactation, who's having the same lactation issue of low milk supply. We're going to try to figure out what are the underlying issues to those causes.
Well, just to ask a question there as we continue, what will cause the mother to not produce milk? Because what seems to be natural is now coming across as not so natural, because you think, okay, so I get pregnant and my body changes, and as I'm getting closer to birth, you know, milk starts coming. I'm getting from you that no, that is not always the case. No. So then what are some of the things outside of diabetes, hypertension, all these things, what are some of the things that cause?
But I'm saying those things when, remember the first conversation I said, what is the number one killer in the country?
It was cancer. Not cancer.
No.
Heart disease.
Heart disease.
Heart disease.
What is heart disease related to? Lifestyle issues, like, non-communicable diseases.
Yeah,
if you have underlying non-communicable diseases, that's going to also impact, remember, your fertility, your ability to get pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's not even include, which we're not going to touch on, weed and all those recreational drugs, and also their impact on both male production and female production. Because sperm count is impacted. Well, we're not going to go there. Let's
stay focused.
Let's stay focused.
I was going to tell you, I see red people drink rum and make real jar, and so. That's Trinidad. Man, my rum's up every day, but you have a 5-6 and you in one bear and you can't catch. But anyway, as we continue here with the importance of breastfeeding and understanding what causes these things, I think that's the part that I we need clarity on, because people need to understand, because there was some people tell you, I don't smoke weed, I don't drink alcohol, I don't do these things, and they may very well be telling the truth, but they're still underproducing.
Yes. And then we have to ask, and then this is where medical practitioners, you see, as a lactation consultant, whether at my current level as a lactation specialist and or eventually an IBCLC, we cannot diagnose.
But is
so
it something?
Let me finish.
Okay.
So which means that I can recommend, right, that you take my suggestions to get a prolactin level testing, to get certain testing done.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, is your GP who has to sign off to say they're going to do it, and or you go do it privately because you want to know for yourself.
To get it done.
So there are blood level issues with prolactin levels. There are non-communicable diseases that impact lactation. Then there are hormonal issues. You know what you said earlier about people think it's natural? Well, let's talk about natural. Do you know your breasts are not fully developed until you actually have a pregnancy? Yes. So listen to this. Your breasts are not fully developed, meaning all your nodules and everything that is neat, that we see. We see a fully developed breast, right? So we're talking about it visually, as in size. Now I'm talking about the mechanics of the breast.
Oh, well, you had me confused there.
Yes.
Yes, the mechanics.
The mechanics of the breast, right? So it's like, I always, okay, WASA, sorry. But I always use WASA as my analogy. So in my teaching...
No, that's fine. You can borrow WASA a little bit.
Borrow WASA, okay.
Yeah.
WASA, sorry. But there's water in the country. You're just not getting any from your pipe. Yes?
Yeah.
All right. So.
I like that.
WASA, forgive me, right? I use this in my class. Don't be mad. So you have breast milk, and it's been fully developing, because from 16 weeks onward, there's milk in your breast. We call it colostrum.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then we get transitional milk. Then we get mature milk. It goes through three stages. However, if it is that you have polycystic ovaries, if it is that your menses have not been normal throughout your life, your development, which means like, okay, WASA, here we go again. The pipes for your faucet are not all connected. Does that make sense without getting into heavy science?
Yeah, because you might have a nice fancy faucet, but guess what? When you turn it open,
yes,
there's nothing, because the pipe connected on the wrong, or exactly. it connected with a stop cork on it.
Yes. So when you, and women are not told, and I did not know until I started to delve into lactation, every time you have a menses, your breasts actually develop. So when a woman says, hey, I missed this month, woohoo for me, and she's happy, and she's happy, and she's happy she's missing, all that is actually playing against you regarding milk production. Because every time you have your menses, the connections and the wires grow deeper and stuff like that. Again, non-scientific, but I just want to, because I don't know who's listening, so I want to make sure people really understand.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like a tree. It's like a tree. You see the tree, but the roots of the tree have to be developed for the tree to stand. So in lactation, it works the same way. So every time you miss a menses and your roots are not growing deep, that will also impact. So that's how we also ask you, how is your menstrual cycle?
So women who don't get it, I spoke to someone. What about people who stop it? You know, there are some people, there's this new thing that they're injecting women with, you know, somebody in the forearm.
Yes.
And that I'm being told when it's done, it prevents pregnancies. It helps with that. So you'd either be taking this, some pill
morning pills.
Or, you know, so you're protecting yourself against unwanted pregnancies, but it affects the menses, because what is happening is that that cycle is no longer coming every 30 days. It's now, or 28 days. It's now 90 days. So sometimes 3 months before they see one.
The Depro shot, yes.
So then what happens?
All that is impacting your lactation.
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes when we learn the science of a thing, we have a better understanding. And we're not saying not to take contraceptive. If you're sexually active, you have no means of financially supporting the child, or you and your partner have decided this is not the time to have children, please engage in using contraception. However, if you are young, and that's the thing, if you're 12, 11, you're getting your menses, it's natural, and it's actually helping you down the line towards lactation. And I would say 12, 13, because, well, I know this is a different time. But let's say you're not sexually active. This conversation is if you're not sexually active. If you're sexually active, please use protection, and please be on some form of birth control. If you're not sexually active and you come to meet your menses every month, it's actually helping you develop all the roots that are part of lactation. Your breasts are fully developed after delivery of your child.
And what happens if you have four children? So after the first delivery, you have fully developed breasts.
Yes.
So what happens after that? You start back seeing your menses going forward.
You start seeing your menses. What it is that after each pregnancy, your roots grow deeper, and actually each your production volume should actually increase with each child.
That's the
However, key word, it should. Now, there are always situations. Remember, if you have diabetes, remember, if you have hypertension, remember, like, there are other things that impact lactation besides bringing a child to the breast. And then, like I said, that's the mother end. We also have the baby end. If the baby has health issues, right, that will also impact lactation as well. So we always say it's the dyad. It's the mother and the baby coming together to see what is working, what is not working, and then changing it. Now, I want to come back to formula. Right.
Okay, while you're coming back to formula, answer this one for me as well. Can children grow properly if they are not breastfed? So
what do you mean by grow properly?
Well,
because that is a big question.
Or healthier.
Again, I'm dissect that for me. What do you mean by healthy? Are we talking about mental development? Are we talking about physiological? Because development of a child does not just happen in one area. Do you understand what I'm saying? You and I are developed, right? Because, okay, there's a physiological, like, you and I are older than we were a year ago, right? But then, because I may have gone to college, or I have a master's degree, or I have a PhD.
I have a little more academic development than, okay, I got you.
So I want, when we use the word development.
But let's talk intelligence. And sicknesses in terms of the flu.
That's good. Now you're narrowing for me. Children who are breastfed have less instances of illness, and that's just fact, right? And that goes back to the natural antibodies that is in breast milk. That goes back to the initial statement that I made, that breast milk is can never be formula. Why? Because every time it is fed to a child, it's reconstituted, which means it's fresh, it's new. It's you're literally getting a fresh meal. It's like your wife, because you have one. It's like your wife coming every single meal you eat in your house. You never eat a leftover.
It's freshly cooked or it's freshly killed.
Yes.
Whether it's fish is now caught.
Yes.
And
it's
seasoned.
On the spot food that you're getting. You don't even know what a leftover is. A Tupperware bowl, you ain't never seen in a day in your life.
Mm.
And that's the way breast milk functions.
Wow.
So in doing that, it helps to build a baby's natural defense system. And then the breast milk and the fat content help with brain development, with IQ. And we also think, right, and the research, not we also think, but the research is also showing the bonding that happens. I'm going to step on some toes. I'm going to say it publicly because I say it privately. We have a culture in Trinidad and Tobago where we say too much hand spoils a child. I tell my parents that, listen, a child cannot manipulate you until like they're two. Crying is the only way a child, a newborn, has the ability to communicate. That, and the thing is, I tell my parents when we're in class, you will learn to differentiate cries. There's actually a cry for hunger. There's a cry for, I'm just fussy. I didn't like that woman's perfume. I don't like her voice either. Because they're human and they feel and they sense just like we do. They just don't have the words, but they do have words. And that word is a cry. So when a baby is crying, they're communicating with you. Babies that are held, and this is a not cultural thing, but I'm going to say it. Babies that are held have higher confidence in themselves than babies who are left to cry it out, which increases cortisol levels, which is stress levels. Again, children who are newborn cannot manipulate you. As we like to say in local parlance, you're giving them too much hand. You can't give a newborn too much hand. Please be mindful that the child has been in the womb for the past 9 months.
Wow.
Walking with you, talking with you. And daddies, you're the best with this. My voice is audible to a baby, but a man's voice is clearer. So they've done tests and research. You can Google it. When a baby is born, meaning delivered into the world, right? They've done this research. Two men come into the room. If the father of the child speaks, meaning that the father has been there through their whole pregnancy, the child will turn their head to their father's voice.
So I would have seen that. I had the privilege of seeing both of them. And I was in the room.
Okay.
And I was talking with the nurses.
Uh-huh.
And I saw.
Thank you.
After he cried out, whatever. Uh-huh. And I spoke.
Thank you.
The head turned. But I'm thinking
it's
back.
Science.
I thought it was just
no,
a knee-jerk reaction.
No. It's not.
And every time I walked into that room.
And you spoke. Because remember, when a child is in, I'm going to use you and I, right? But we're both married to different people. I'm carrying the baby, right?
Mm.
The blood system is gargling. There's more noise going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you're outside of me, which means that the baby can hear
better
you better
than you.
Yes.
Yeah, that
so
makes
I'm
sense.
Like rubbing the baby, talking to the baby. But when you come and touch the baby, talk to the baby hears you clearer than the baby hears me. So that's why when the baby's born and you've been around and you've been active and he's been hearing us talk about, you know, walking him and da-da-da, when the baby's born, he will automatically respond to you because he's been hearing you. And that is why we talk about stress levels. That is why we talk about, let's go back to crying, which we began before my segment. Socioeconomic development, psychosocial issues happen at birth before conception. Babies are hearing.
The aggression.
Yes.
Or whatever. Because I remember they talking about you not being so angry. You know, even the birthmark that a baby receives, they says, is because of the cravings of the mom if she didn't get it. Well, nearly getting my head chewed off for a particular punch,
mm-hmm,
by a particular punch individual. And we reached there and he wasn't there. He didn't come out that day. And he was upset. And I was like, I can't do anything. we left up in the east, drove all the way down to where your sister lives in that area, because that punch man, oh, that is all you want, and we come for it, and he just didn't come out to work that day. So you vex, and vex for 3 weeks.
It's so it's like hormones speaking, and we have to be patient with each other. Is the hormones that speak, and that is also after delivery. And there's a difference between baby blues, depression, and psychosis. Those are three different things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Somebody now message me and say, when they're pregnant, put them in a little cave by themselves and let them make and then check them after. No, you can't do that.
No, you can't do that, because you miss all the development that baby is going through and your wife is going through, and the beauty of welcoming a new child.
So then what has happened when children, when they have this unwanted pregnancy, so the mom just going through this whole pregnancy by themselves? I mean, that could be torture, boy.
Then you have stressed out babies, and we know that. I mean, the research was done like in the 80s. I don't remember if you remember those children in the 80s in Russia who were kept, remember?
Uh-huh.
Look it up. They were kept in, so they were fed, so they received their nutritional allotment, but they weren't touched or talked to. We take it lightly, the power of human touch.
We do. We take it for granted.
Yeah. And I don't know how old your kids are, but actually, I read this article and I started touching my kids more. Because what actually happens is when children are born, we touch them. Then as they grow older, they're getting their independence, they're growing up. You're like, okay, let me give you your space. The research actually shows is that is actually when they actually even need more touch.
Well,
they need that hug. They need that reassurance that they're okay.
Lady, I don't have a bed to myself right now because I have two
wonderful sons
and they're
that
always
is wonderful.
The mother, they're always under daddy.
Be under daddy. Be under
they always,
mommy.
Always,
if
always.
We want to solve the crime in this country. Part of it is the family structure, and then part of it is the social inequality, which we will not discuss today.
We can't.
Right. But let's keep on with the family part of it. The family part of it is that touch, the conversations, the dialogue that happen utero, that continue to happen post-delivery, that continue to happen throughout their development into adulthood. Those are the things that will and reduce our crime rates in the country.
I believe you. Because you asked, one is just about 14, and the other one is 12, 11, 12, somewhere there. And I go home, and I'm there with them, and they with me. I sleep since school close, before school close, but since school and then vacation, I am outside on the chair, and wherever I am, my son's coming, and big as they is, they're lying down with daddy, I watch them wherever, and they're falling. I tell you, there's no room for me to even turn because they're under me right through.
So how will criminal activity come in your home? It can't, because your children are with you.
Yeah, I'm not playing. My sons, I talk with them all the time. I take them with me.
Yes.
And I see the touch, you know, that you talk about, because just recently, I would have spent some time with them last Thursday on the holiday. I took them to work with me, and I told them, we had an outside broadcast dealing with horses and stuff, and I was on it, and I brought them to the races, and they had a project, you know, that I'm going to deal with when I get home. Write a story of your experience at the races with the horses, and you saw them, you know, and give me 4 paragraphs. And let's discuss it. So that's what I'm doing with them. So they're like, so no PS5, and I say, I need to get the story, 4 paragraphs, doesn't have to be more than 5 or 6 lines per paragraph, but give me 4, whatever you choose, and tell me about your experience going with me to the races.
And can I tell you something?
What's that?
Whether you go to the races, whether you go to the supermarket, whether you take a walk to the library, all these are bringing neurons and brain development into your child, and they're learning social interaction. They're learning a sense of safety. They're learning who they are. And people often overlook these small activities, and you need a grandiose experience. No. Children just need to know they are loved unconditionally, which means whether I bring home an A+, I come first in tests, I bring home a D, I am still loved. Now, if I bring home a D, then we obviously know there's areas I need to address and we need to work on.
Are we going to work on it? But
key
but
word, we are going to
We're
going to
work on it. And I recognize, even with your children, you know, and we're still talking breastfeeding, and we're celebrating Breastfeeding Week, but it all encompasses it. And there is words that we use, and I recognize that in even dealing with my own sons with disciplining. When I use the word, listen, something happened and he's like, okay, the teacher told me about it. That was bad. But here's what. I need you to give me the true account so that I can help you. I figured, because he was like, he thought he was going to get a spank. I said, if you don't tell me, I can't help you. So I need to help you to understand what you did or what happened so we can address it. So I'm here. This is me talking to you. I want to help you. So tell. And I got a different response by using the word help. He then saw me in a different light. Daddy's not going to scold me.
Yes.
Daddy wants to help me. So I need to tell Daddy so that Daddy can help me. Let me put that into real life term for you guys. You go to the doctor. What are you ashamed of if you're experiencing discomfort, whether in your private areas or your tooth? You have to tell the doctor the truth so that they can what?
Help you. And can I say that especially, and this is lactation related, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I always say, I tell my husband, don't die on me. Because if you die on me, you won't raise these children with me. Black men do not take care of their health. Now, that's a myriad of issues, right? And we understand that. We understand even for black women, we die in higher rates in childbirth. I mean, we know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, if we don't advocate and ask for help and mm-hmm. seek information, if a doctor tells you something and you're uncomfortable with it in your spirit, even I tell myself, if you're uncomfortable with anything I say,
mm-hmm.
research it, look it up, come back to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
We doctors, professionals such as myself, we owe it to you to make sure that you understand the information being given to you,
mm-hmm.
that you know that there's an open door dialogue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The same way you're speaking to your son is the same way your healthcare should be. I am here to help you. That's what I do as a lactation mm-hmm. consultant.
Mm-hmm.
My goals are not your goals, meaning like, I don't want you to breastfeed. If you tell me you really want to use that formula, I'm going to tell you the safest way to prepare that formula. I'm going to give you
again, support.
It's support.
I'm going to guide you.
I'm going to guide you.
I'm not going to recommend it,
right,
but I'm going to guide you. Because I want you to get the best possible result out of it. Well said.
And that's what we do as professionals. You see, I do that in my professional life. I hope I do that raising my children. That's what I do. I tell them, I have a daughter who is doing CAPE levels.
Mm-hmm.
When she was in 4 and 5, I said, I'm no longer your mother. I said, think of me as your personal assistant. So you tell me what your problems are, because that's what your personal assistant does, right? You tell them what their problems are, and they go solve it for you, and they come back. Here are your options. This is what we can do.
Right, that's what we can do, right.
But the thing is, you have to keep telling me things.
You have to talk to me. We must communicate.
Right.
You know, here's another thing as we continue to get set to wrap the dialogue this afternoon. I mean, I don't know how much time you had, but I'm very, very happy that you sat with me this afternoon and we were able to explore these areas. Why is breastfeeding so taboo that we feel it's dirty or... And I will while you process that question in thought, I recently had the privilege of hosting the Miss World pageant, Trinidad and Tobago, throughout the build up to the final night and different segments, different legs of the competition. And there was a woman, one of the delegates, that would, she had a her beauty with a purpose was dealing with the taboo and the negative things associated with menstrual, with, you know, women
menzies.
And
the
menzies, as you, the short inversion,
yeah.
I like that, the
yes.
menzies.
Menzies.
And she talked about the lack of empathy shown for it,
mm-hmm.
The stigma that is attached to it, the dirtiness associated with it, and the fact that there are many young girls are not able to get the products necessary
because they're so expensive
to assist them.
Yes.
So imagine what they go through.
Yes.
The poverty.
Yes.
The period poverty.
Yes.
And the thing about it is this. What I thought about that, why are we scoffing and deeming dirty something that is natural to women? It's a natural part of human life. Why are we doing this? And then I look at women when they are going through it, you know, hey, you know what? listen, I'm not feeling too well, my monthlies are on me. I respect women who say that more. You know why? Because we are taught that even, you know, your sisters or whatever, they hide in the pad or the tampon, whatever it is, and it's so well tucked away because nobody needs to know. I think when we are aware of these things that's happening with women, we can then treat with the associated attitudes, if you want to put it that way, that comes with it, because it's hormones changing, yeah, and varying.
Same, you like know, menopause.
You're upset. Some women get menses with so much pain, mm-hmm, you know, that they're uncomfortable. Some of them have heavy ones, yes, and it can leak and cause them embarrassment. Yes. The thing about it is, why are we looking at this and treating it taboo when it's a natural thing that happens to tell us? And we men should be glad for it, because if we want children, we want a woman that sees her menses.
Yes.
Because that is the egg releasing, and yes, we want to get that fertile period where, right, doctors will tell you, hey, try and engage in some little activities because this is your fertile time for these few days. Yeah. You know, so we should be grateful to that. So it comes back to why, if we see a woman breastfeeding in public at a super, maybe she sits down somewhere and she's feeding the child, why are we... Oh, that's what I came up. Why are we looking at it as if it's so taboo and it should not happen? You know, why are we not sensitive to the plight of what this lady is going through? How can we deal with the taboo aspects of breastfeeding?
I love that question. I think it's twofold. One of it is profitability, money.
So how is to boss lady, Sheila, out there at Building 19, she's locked on. She says she's loving the topic that we are chatting.
Thanks, boss lady.
So, Miss Sheila, thank you so much. Miss Sheila is a wonderful lady. Yeah? She helps a lot of persons. She's always there and ready to help you when you come by her and you talk with her. So, Sheila, thank you so much for listening to us this afternoon. Yes, she says she's enjoying the topic. Mm-hmm. So, as we go back to it, this taboo associated with breastfeeding that women has to hide, they have to feel shame. You know, it's a whole cover up and a set of cloth, you know, for something that is healthy for baby. Healthy. It's healthy for mom.
And because healthy for daddy.
Well, yeah, we get less stress. Because if you ain't all up in your feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
We all right.
And you're saving more money.
Yeah, there you go.
So you can
less formula to buy.
Right. We put that way to college.
So then here's the twofold question. Why need process? Why is it taboo? How can we address the taboo aspects of this? And what is the average time frame that women should breastfeed? You got people breastfeeding all 3 years after the baby born, baby still on a nipple.
Yes.
So let's talk about
those three things.
Those things. Right. How do we fight the taboo?
Taboo. Profitability. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're like, why you say profitability? Breast cell. Sex cells. We don't talk about it. I don't know why as adults we don't talk about sex. But it's
because
everywhere.
We're always feeling shame. I don't understand why.
I don't understand either. And it's like, no, let's talk about sex. And I was like, we do carnival in this country, which was a shock to me. And yeah, seriously.
Everything is naked.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I always have a hard time with carnival. I'm like, that's just a lot to see. I'm a woman. I don't want to see all that. If we see all that, then we need to be more comfortable talking about the human body.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about, when you said that, you know, I just wanted to talk about, I was like, but I feel the same way about men and prostate cancer for black men. Why? No, seriously, why is it that black men die unnecessarily from prostate cancer? Because they don't want to talk about their penis area. Like, we need to have these conversations because it's not sexual. It is the human body.
It's natural.
It is very natural.
Yeah.
And because it's very natural, we have to have healthy conversations about the human body and call it what it is. And understand that during the life cycle, as humans, we will go through adolescence, we will go through puberty, we will go through childbirth, we choose that, we'll go through menopause. Mm-hmm. And it's all part of the human cycle. I say profitability because sex sells.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's hard for some people to differentiate the boob for business and the boob for nutritional value.
Hmm. Interesting thought.
That has always been my thought about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for a woman to be sexy and sell her, and then you see her breastfeeding. Like, that's an oxymoron for some people. They can't, you know? But the reality is the breast serves to that.
Mm-hmm.
When I work with clients, I tell them, listen, before you and your husband engage in sexual activity, your breasts, for some women, they leak. So let him know that. And, well, we discuss it in class, so mm-hmm. he knows that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to suckle at the nipple, just make sure you wipe it after with just water. Why? Because dental caries. People forget that. Remember, your mouth has germs, right? It's not good or bad. It just does. So if you have a whole bunch of cavities and you suckle there and the baby comes to suckle, then they can get the dental cavities.
Wow.
And people don't understand.
That is interesting.
So the thing is, again, and that is... As a lactation consultant, mm-hmm. we have these conversations because the more we understand about how our bodies function, what can transpire based upon our activities, then we're better able to protect our families.
Wow. I am so, listen, I'm happy that you mentioned that because people need to hear this, you know, the tooth decay yeah. and the cavities. Now, we're saying that you have germs in your mouth is not bad.
Yeah, because, like I said, it's not. It's natural. You need them actually to protect your
listen,
body. Yeah.
There are two things. Even when you deal with a woman's private area, yeah. there, you must have the germ. There's good bacteria and, yes. and bad. You must have that.
Yeah.
So if a woman tries to clean out that vagina area and just wash.
And I think that's insane too. Douching. I'm like, why? And
you're going to get yourself some yeah. yeast infections
yes.
there. It's like a good friend of mine working at, many years ago. He went buck wild with a nose trimmer and trim all the hair out. You know how much flu and
yes,
cold he gets after that?
Because the hair protects.
Yeah.
And same thing with your skin.
Yeah.
Your skin is actually a protective layer.
Yeah.
And people don't understand. And that's what I'm saying. It goes back to the need in our classrooms to mm-hmm. educate us about the human body.
Right.
And normalize that the human body does these things and it is normal. And then to have conversations about what to expect through adolescence, what to expect during pregnancy,
exactly.
what to expect through menopause. And I like to say, I don't think there's a name. I have to look it up. I'm sure mm-hmm. there is a formal scientific name. I believe men go through menopause too.
We just have something pausing, we but
yeah, but okay, it's not menopause, I know, but I believe there's something that men go through and uh-huh. that needs to be dealt with. Through each life cycle, there are changes that are going on in our physical body, in our mental capacity, and these are conversations we need to have.
Indeed so.
Now about the tabooness. If we can have conversations and be open, then it takes you see people things done in darkness is when things are taboo. If they come to light and we have conversation and dialogue between a man and a woman, just like we're having today, mm-hmm. it's not sexualized. It's for pure information purposes.
And education.
And for learning.
Yeah.
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 Then we both walk away understanding ourselves and each other a lot better than we began.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what helps to break down the taboo. And that's what helps with lactation. You spending more time than you thought you're going to spend with me today, having this healthy conversation, a man who's expecting, a man who just became a dad, a man who's thinking, well, I may want to go into fatherhood, has a better understanding about what's required of him to participate. A woman knows what's required of her to participate in her lactation.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
she also mm-hmm. understands now, girl, it is okay if you're struggling. I always tell my parents, it is not okay to struggle in silence. If you have an issue, if you have a question, find a practitioner that will answer you until you are satisfied with the response.
Indeed.
You may not like the response, right? Because also some people don't like to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm going to do it in a respectful way. But be willing also to listen to the truth. Because sometimes it may be something you need to change or a different approach, right? And that's all of us. All of us must be willing to listen. I call it, what is that thing? Constructive
criticism. All right. So let's talk a little bit about how long should
yes.
mom breastfeed.
All right. You ready? The World Health Organization and UNICEF said up to 2 years and or beyond.
And or beyond?
Yes. The American Academy of Pediatrics just finally changed their position in 2022. They were late to the game. Bad America. they only said finally too. Why? Remember, you do not make your antibodies by yourself until you're 5 years old.
True.
So when people say that baby's still sucking at 2, 3, yes. What people don't know is lactation is dosage related. Let me repeat that again. Listen carefully. Lactation is dosage related. What does that mean? When you get sick and your doctor says, take these antibiotics for 7 days, hey, take these antibiotics for 14 days. You're given a prescription for a specific time period. Mm-hmm. Lactation works that way. So remember when we first began this conversation, I said, what's the number one killer in Trinidad and Tobago?
And it was heart disease.
Now you know. Well, you know that when you breastfeed for 6 months, you decrease your reduction of heart disease by 23%. Do you know when you breastfeed by 12 months or longer, you decrease cardiovascular disease by 10%? And we'll bring in cancer. Cancer is also dosage related. So what we're learning is the longer you provide breast milk, the longer your child receives breast milk, it's a win-win situation. And that is why it is crucial. Like, my love is working with workplaces. I want workplaces to come on board, understand from both an HR perspective and a facilities perspective that space needs to be made. And keyword, I said the word space. I didn't say you need to give me a room, right? I said space, right? Mm-hmm. Space that is not a bathroom.
Right.
That is not space.
That's not space.
Space where I can have an electrical outlet if the mother is using a breast pump. Mm-hmm. Space if we have to put in a fridge. If she doesn't have a fridge, milk. I want to say this to the grown adults listening. Milk. Human breast milk is not urine. Therefore, human breast milk can be refrigerated like any other food in the common refrigerator used at work. Because
wow.
Some grown adults, and I like to use the word grown adults, have a problem with human milk and they act like it is urine. I'm like, no, it is not. It is consumable, just like if I was to put a piece of chocolate, if I was going to put a piece of bread in the fridge, I put my breast milk in the fridge. It's not going to poison your food. It's not going to cause Ebola or any other craziness. It is just food.
So can we warm up breast milk in the microwave?
No. What we would prefer you do is that you heat up water and you put in your breast milk
in the bottle, in the water, and let the heat of the water warm it up.
I'm an anti-microwave.
Microwave.
Person. Yeah, and then you have hot spots. It's the same way with formula. I have hot spots, so it's better to do it the traditional way.
Don't try to bubble the milk. Don't put it in up. What about if you take the breast milk and you put it in a teapot and you put it on the fire and you light the stove?
Can I tell you something? I know another thing Trinidadians are going to be like, no, she didn't. Everything locally, we call it tea. So breast milk is called tea. And tea is hot. So people assume that you must heat up breast milk. Mm. I just want to testify that I have 2 children that I did not kill, and I didn't heat up my breast milk. When I tell people that, they're like, what? I'm like, yeah.
So how do you drink it?
So, okay. So
you warm it up in any water? Or you?
I warm it up in the water, but I know if I'm going to go out or my husband needs to feed the children, just take it out of the freezer, put it in the fridge, let it come defrost there, mm-hmm. right? And then just shake it up.
So once you get room temperature.
Yeah. I never
And sort them out.
And sort them
out. And them fellas big right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a daughter and a son. Everyone lived. I was like, I have 2. I did my own experiment. I didn't kill nobody in the making of this. They survived. So I tell people that they survived.
Oh my God.
So you don't have to.
She said, I didn't kill nobody.
I didn't kill nobody. They can testify.
I want all HR consultants and HR personnel who is listening to this conversation right now, you know, go back to your job places, inspect the area. I will talk to my team here. I don't even got your media building. We have an area for breastfeeding.
And we will definitely work with them because that's what we do professionally. So, I mean, I want to thank Unit Trust and places such as Mossy that we've worked with that have provided lactation spaces and thought it very, you know, equitable. And when we do our programs, it is not just for women, it is for men.
So how do we get in touch with is it OMO and Business and Best Start?
OMO
and Best Start Lactation Services?
OMO and Best Start Lactation Services. You can contact us at 741-8907, 741-8907. We are also on social media, TikTok, Instagram, you name it, we're there. And again, it's the same handles, OMO and Best Start.
So make sure and check them out and speak with Adepeju.
Adepeju. Yes.
Adepeju. I don't know. That name just sounds sexy and nice, boy. Adepeju. It sounds like some kind of African royalty. So Ade Pedri, you know, we come
that's
to the palace.
You just said royalty. It is, actually.
That's what I'm saying.
It is.
It's royalty.
It is royalty.
Ade Pedri.
Ade is crowned. So my father's side, they're chiefs. So I come from a
lot. I know that. Their name in just so boy.
Yeah.
Ryan, you get through today. Because Davy Murray on the People on Them Good Radio couldn't pronounce the name properly, 100. I couldn't pronounce it, you know. Ade Pedro. I don't want to mispronounce the name for somebody to feel like us on the radio. You know, but it's a nice name and I love it. And the last name,
Oisanya.
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 Yes. Well, boy, you would have been the only woman in the whole world I would have let you keep your maiden name if I did marry you. Because you would have get to keep your maiden name. Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Mr. Murray.
Good afternoon. Very quickly.
Mr. Murray, that is the best program you ever had.
One of the best, you mean?
No, I agree.
The best. And Mr. Murray,
uh-huh.
A lot of people probably listening could now appreciate life from conception to death.
Well, I would have kept her in the next hour, but she has to go, I guess.
Stages of life, there are hardships and there are pain. But even elderly, even being sick, you enjoy life.
Yeah. You know, all right, thank you very much, caller. I have to go for the news. But before we do that, I have one more question to ask you, though. Can adults drink breast milk?
Yes, actually, a friend of ours, unfortunately, passed away. But breast milk is also used to treat cancer.
Yeah, you know, we have more calls coming in. But people just want to talk to you. They was enjoying it. Let me take this one real quick. Hello, good afternoon.
Evening.
Uh-huh.
Pronounce your name again for me. Thank you.
Ade Pedro.
Yes.
Ade Pedro Oisanya.
Ryan.
I got it. Yes. Ade Pedro Oisanya. So you all got it? Ade Pedro. Royalty. Oisanya. I just like it. And then you add Ryan. Mr. Ryan, thank you for lending us your wife here this afternoon on Freedom 106.5 FM. We thoroughly enjoyed her company. We kept her longer than usual, but I'm happy that she did. And of course, all the listeners and texters, somebody is saying best program ever. Well, you're real worthless, you know. I just give the best program every day, but you like this one the most, you know. But thank you very much, you know.
Thank you, guys.
We always strive to do the best. Somebody is telling me, and next one's telling me, great. Yeah. Coming in. So thank you guys so much. Ade Pedro Oisanya Ryan.
Yes.
I tell you, I'm the only woman that I ever get to keep that maiden name.